Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Hour number three of the Bill Michaels Show. Happy Friday, Wisconsin. Radio Joe Zanzola with you. Thanks for listening across the great state of Wisconsin and beyond the borders to all of our fine affiliates out there. Hey, lacrosse, you might know him well. Grant Bills from WKTY is going to join me coming up after the bottom of the hour. We'll talk little Packers, the future of sports, a whole bunch of fun little topics with Grant. I was on his show last week, so returning the favor and bringing Grant on. It'll be some fun stuff. He's one of the up-and-comers in Wisconsin sports talk, and he does a really, really good show out in La Crosse on WKTY, 580 AM, 96.7 FM out there. So it's a Top 5 Friday, and I give Evan Heffelfinger, who's doing a fine job producing the show today, he came up with this, and this particular Top 5 that we're going to do goes also hand in hand with the fact that we've been talking a lot about money the last couple of days and whether or not Major League Baseball can broker this deal between ownership and the union. And so yesterday on the show, we had Scooter Gennett on, the former Milwaukee Brewers second baseman. Right now, he is still looking for a job. He has not been signed yet. He did not get an invite to spring training back in February. And I'm going to pull one particular clip from this interview, and you can go to BillMichaelsSports.com to check it out. But I've never heard a player talk about negotiating a contract with a team in the detail that he did. I've never heard this publicly. Players do not release this kind of stuff, and agents don't want their players releasing that kind of stuff. But this is what Scooter Gennett told Tim Allen, who was filling in for Bill yesterday, about negotiations he had with a team recently.
Yeah, I just wanted incentives, and they didn't want to give me incentives. I didn't get a guaranteed offer to make this team out of camp. And I was like, okay, but give me some incentives. And they said $500,000, $700,000 was it. I'm like, well, I can make an all-star team still. Like, how about we do, like, if I make an all-star team, there's $500. If I win the Silver Slugger, there's $500. If I get 400 at-bats, 500 at-bats, I'm an everyday player, there's 500. You know, to where at the end of the day, I'm a $20 million player, and they've only had to pay me 8 or 9 or 10. But right. They didn't want to do that, so they made the decision pretty easy for me.
It's pretty crazy when you think about it. I've never heard a player go into that kind of detail when it comes to contract negotiations. And for pretty much all of us listening, we are not making $10 million a year. We are not making $5 million a year. A lot of us aren't even making $100,000. And Scooter even alluded to that yesterday, that for players that make that kind of money, you can't live off of that. There were a lot of things that came out of that interview were pretty fascinating. A lot of stuff about the players' union, they shouldn't be backing down on this, but then also about money. And I think it ruffles a lot of feathers for you guys listening, because a lot of you are struggling right now. We're all struggling in one way or another. So when it comes to money and hearing people complain about money, players complain about money, billionaire owners complain about money, it doesn't sit well with anyone. Now, the Brewers decided not to keep Scooter Gennett, and Scooter Gennett ended up having a pretty good career with the Reds, and the Reds should have traded him when his value was high. Instead, they cut him loose a year later, and he wasn't the same player, and now he's looking for a job. But this brings up our top five Friday question. Everyone's worth something. But as we've seen, at least in recent history in this state, when it comes to our favorite teams, there have been a lot of bad contracts. There's been a lot of players where you look at them, you look at their production, and you say, why the hell are they paying them that much money? Now, this is the criteria for this Top 5 Friday, and I'll give you my top five here in just a sec. But this can be a free agent signing. This can also be a re-signing of a player that you thought maybe was going to take the next step, or a player that was good and then they got the money that they were paid and never lived up to that contract and then set the franchise back. You could even look at guys who took deals and then quit. When I was trying to make this list yesterday, it took me over an hour because there have been so many bad contracts, specifically with the Milwaukee Bucks. I can't tell you how many bad contracts there have been, at least in the last 10 years. And you can even go back beyond that. But there have been so many poor decisions that have not paid off for that franchise alone that you just shake your head to. And that's why I'm very curious to hear from you guys at 855-830-8648 on the Milwaukee Admirals hashtag Admirals50 talk line. I'm curious to know what this list is, because we're starting to get some on social media, and it's a wide array of players and what they were making. So, took me over an hour yesterday. Here's my top five. And we'll get to Evan's top five here in just a sec. Coming in at number five is Martellus Bennett. Now, here's why I went with Martellus Bennett here at five. I do not appreciate any player signing a contract with a team and then just quitting. And especially for the reasons. Now, Martellus Bennett claimed that he was hurt and he tried to throw Doc McKenzie under the bus. And then when he left the Packers after Aaron Rodgers got hurt and the season was pretty much donezo, Martellus Bennett then was seen practicing with the New England Patriots. Sorry, guys. Martellus Bennett was a really bad signing. I'm going to say this because I've been wrong before. When Martellus Bennett signed with the Packers, I thought that was an upgrade. Yeah, I'll admit it. I couldn't believe Ted Thompson did it. I couldn't even believe he would make a signing like that. Because remember, at the time, the Packers were trying to negotiate with Jared Cook, and Jared Cook wanted to be paid. And Ted just decided, you know what? Martellus Bennett wants to play here, and he can play for about the same amount of money, and we think he's better than Jared Cook, even though Jared Cook made a name for himself in that NFC playoff game in Dallas. I mean, Jared Cook was a hell of a weapon. But at the time, people like me felt that, you know what, Martellus Bennett's an even better upgrade than Jared Cook. Who needs Jared Cook? They're going to overpay for Jared Cook. Give me Martellus Bennett. Well, in hindsight, the Packers have never been able to figure out that tight end position since that whole situation with Jared Cook. So Martellus Bennett, now in hindsight, looks so stupid. And the fact that he quit on the team will never sit well with me. The guy's a jag. Martellus Bennett comes in at number five. He signed a three-year, $21 million deal with the Packers at the time and then bailed. Coming in at number four, I have Matt Garza of the Milwaukee Brewers. Matt Garza at the time signed a record-breaking deal with the Brewers, and now, of course, Christian Yelich has topped that. But Matt Garza at the time signed a four-year, $50 million deal with the Brewers. Well, it might have been a good signing when it happened, but Matt Garza only got you 1 year. And then he was hurt, and then he couldn't stay consistent, and then the guy had an attitude. Never cared for Matt Garza. And that's the problem when it comes to money. Guess what, guys? Mark Adonasio had a part to play in that, and everyone likes to rip Mark because he's cheap. Well, again, he is part of the reason why Christian Yelich is here for the long term. And he was not afraid to spend money back then. So Matt Garza didn't work out, but Mark had a say in that. So you only got one good year out of Matt Garza, and considering for the amount of money that you put out there, especially for a team that was trying to contend at that time, that was a big miss. Number three on my list of top five worst contracts in Wisconsin sports history. I didn't think, when I was putting together the list, I didn't think I was going to put him in there. But then, really looking at it, I think this was a pretty bad contract. The Milwaukee Bucks fell in love, specifically Jason Kidd, fell in love with Matthew Dellavedova. Now again, Matthew Dellavedova had championship experience playing with LeBron James and the Cavaliers, and the upside was that Deli was a guy that came off the bench who was very effective in the finals and throughout that, you know, playoff run for the Cavs. But the Bucks were basing it off of that he could take another step and be a starter for this team. Did you know that Matthew Dellavedova never averaged 10 points in a season? Deli signed a four-year, $38.5 million contract with the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, here's where I was wrong again. I actually wanted to give Deli a chance when that signing happened. And that was also a time in which I was still kind of a fan of Jason Kidd because I thought he had this team figured out. But after that one good season, things just kind of went in the toilet and it never got better. And the Bucks continued to be inconsistent. So I was still trying to give Jason Kidd some credit to say, okay, you're basing it off of upside, fine. The contract's a little high for Matthew Dellavedova because he's never really been a starter, but let's at least give him a chance. Well, again, injuries hurt him. He was not the player anyone thought, and it was pretty wild that you were able to trade that contract, trade Dellavedova, and you got George Hill in return, and look how that went out. I mean, excellent job, John Horst. Well done. Number two, top five worst players in Wisconsin sports history. This is like the dumbest contract ever. Why would the Bucks pay Miles Plumlee 4 years, $52 million? $52 million for Miles Plumlee. You want to know where Miles Plumlee is playing right now? He's playing in Perth, Australia. Now, I remember when this happened. I remember talking about it on the show with Bill, and John Hammond, his argument was, well, we were looking at other big men, and nothing materialized, so this was the best option we had. We had to bring Miles Plumlee back because he was effective for us in the previous season. Now, in John Hammond's defense, I get that logic, fine. But John, no one was going to outbid you for Miles Plumlee. Let me say that again. Nobody was going to outbid you for Miles Plumlee. You outbid yourself. How the hell did the Bucks give Miles Plumlee 4 years, $52 million? That contract, it just, there were a lot of players making similar money to that that were way better than Miles Plumlee. And that's when NBA salaries were starting to expand. But the logic in trying to pay that guy that much amount of money is just stupid. Never understood that. So, you want to know who my number one is? All right, I'm gonna do this just for the sake of production quality. I'm gonna do a little drum roll.
Soup pitch, great.
Yeah, Jeff Supon, number one worst contract in Wisconsin sports history. Supon never had a great season for the Milwaukee Brewers, not one. It was misery every time he took the hill. He had a couple of stretches in his first season where he pitched very well, but he couldn't pitch well over an entire season. Jeff Supon was the biggest black hole on that Brewer roster, especially during a time when the Brewers were trying to win. They bought in way too much on Supon coming from the Cardinals, and he never replicated what he did in St. Louis. Here's a conspiracy theory. Why is it every time the Cardinals would cut loose a player like Albert Pujols or Jeff Supon or like Colby Rasmus, remember him? None of those dudes, after they left St. Louis, were the same player. Why is that? I got some weird conspiracy theory. What if Jeff Suppan was secretly still working for the Cardinals and he pitched bad for the Brewers just to help the Cardinals? All right, I know that's crazy. I'll just stop. But it's weird because he pitched so well for St. Louis. He came to Milwaukee, pitched like crap all those years. He went back to St. Louis and he pitched well for them again. Amazing. Just amazing. So Jeff Suppan comes in. He made 4 years, $40 million. And at the time, that was a lot of money. It was a lot of money. 855-830-8648. Your top five worst contracts in Wisconsin sports history. Those are mine. My top five. Suppan at one. Miles Plumlee at two. Delly at three. Matt Garza at four. And Martellus Bennett at five. We'll get to Evan Heffelfinger, see what he has to say. Also want to hear from you guys. There's a lot of bad contracts we haven't mentioned. I'm curious to see what Evan has to say. We'll have more of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Super pitch, great.
This portion of the program brought to you by our good friends at Traeger Grills. Traeger Grills, the official grill of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. You're going to do some grilling this weekend, aren't you? I bet you are. You can pick yours up just like I did from Ben and his great staff at Wauwatosa Ace Hardware. You can also go to Germantown Ace Hardware, South Milwaukee Ace Hardware, and Harry's Ace Hardware in Franklin. And just ask them about the Traeger Grill. That thing is fantastic. You're going to love it this weekend. Get you one. Get your grill on. That's from our friends over there at Traeger Grill.
Super pitch, great.
It's the Bill Michaels Show. Radio Joe Zanzola here in for Bill today. Thanks for listening, Wisconsin, wherever you might be. And hopefully you guys have a good Memorial Day weekend coming. Evan Heffelfinger producing the show today. He came up with this top five, the top five worst contracts in Wisconsin sports history. We can also hear from you at 855-830-8648. You can also follow us on Twitter at Radio Joe Sports. Follow Evan at EvanHeff25. All right, Evan, so what do you got for your top five? I'm really curious because I know it took you some time.
I was kind of on the same page with you, and there's just so many names that could be put in here. It's kind of sad how many awful contracts have been handed out.
Pathetic.
By Wisconsin sports. And I'm sure that there are some that I'm forgetting because, remember, I'm only 23. I don't remember half of the history of pretty much the entire Wisconsin sports. So I'm going to start number five with Dan Gadzirich.
Oh, yeah.
The Flying Dutchman.
The Flying Dutchman.
One of the first basketball players I actively remember.
Did you have his jersey?
I did not. No. But I believe I had a bobblehead. 6 years, $36 million. It came after like his first year, third year, he had started a couple of games. And then I think I had in the 6 years after that, he averaged 56 games a year, 12 minutes per game.
Useless.
So not great.
Useless.
That kind of money for a backup center today, it makes a little bit of sense.
Sure.
But, you know, 10, 15 years ago, no.
And 6 years with that guy.
Yeah, $36 million.
They were able to trade that contract, but didn't they trade him for Corey Maggette or something?
He got traded to the Warriors. I can't remember exactly how it happened.
I think Corey Maggette came back in that deal, and that didn't help them either. But man, yeah. Okay. All
brutal.
Right, so the Flying Dutchman at number five. Who else you got?
Number four, Tim Thomas.
Ooh.
A small forward. 6 years, $67 million. He was a little bit before my time, but he's still, I mean, 6 years, $67 million. We traded him for Keith Van Horn.
Oh, yeah.
In that blockbuster. Within, like, the first year of him signing, he was relegated to the bench. And just not worth that kind of money. He was supposed to be, like, the small forward that they needed after Ray Allen. And
the potential was there with Tim Thomas, but it just never came to fruition with him, which was really sad.
Number three, I have Martellus Bennett.
Okay.
The 3 years, $20.5 million. I was excited with the move because we hadn't had a tight. I mean, Jared Cook was phenomenal in that year, especially the playoffs, but we hadn't had that difference maker tight end since JerMichael, so I was all on board for that, which is why I don't even have Jimmy Graham on my list.
Same here, right.
I was all on board. Like, sure, it doesn't look great in hindsight and paying that money was bad, but it wasn't a bad idea necessarily. And Martellus Bennett, he had a little bit of those off the field issues, and he seemed like an interesting kind of guy. But the Packers never could have guessed that he was going to, I don't want to say fake an injury, because he might have been hurt.
That dude, after he said what he said with his injuries and throwing Doc McKenzie under the bus, he's practicing with New England the next week. That pissed me off.
Oh, I mean, it was immediate that, like, once the Packers let him go, he was good. And I think the Packers ended up winning an arbitration hearing where they didn't have to pay him what he wanted or some.
No, I thought they ended up paying him the rest of that salary. I think that's what happened there. But again, I picked Martellus Bennett over Jimmy Graham because Jimmy Graham didn't quit. He didn't quit on the team. At least he was out there and he was playing.
And he was friends with Aaron Rodgers. That's pretty much all you need.
Sure.
Number
Absolutely.
Two, I have Jeff Supon, my boy.
God, it just makes me sick even seeing his name.
Supon's great.
Ugh.
It's funny. Part of the reason that I came up with this was, yeah, the talk of all the money and everything, but I love that drop so much.
Super pitch, great.
Thank you, Ned. I love it so, so much. And it kind of was the first of three or four consecutive moves where they went old starting pitcher in him, old starting pitcher in Matt Garza, and then another in Kyle Loesch. Kyle Loesch was the best of the three, but even him in his third year, he was awful.
Yeah.
Matt Garza, I looked at his stats. He had two good years, two pretty bad years. Excuse me. Jeff Supon, all 4 years, awful. And
he had one season where his ERA was like 7.
Yep. And then they cut him and he went to the Cardinals.
And then he pitched well again for the Cardinals.
He had a 5.08 ERA in his 4 years with the Brewers. 4 years, $42 million.
Money well spent.
Still, wow.
Super pitch, great.
Thank you, Ned. I wonder what Ned thought about him. I don't know.
I miss Ned.
I do too. He was always pretty fun. Miles Plumlee is my number one.
So you got Plum Lord at number one.
So okay. This entire list, if you were to ask me tomorrow, I probably have a completely different top five. But Miles Plumlee, 4 years, $52 million after playing what, like half of a season? He came over in that Michael Carter Williams trade. Was okay. Not great. And he kind of is the... If I could put one, or number one, it would be all three of those signings from that era. It would be Plumlee, Dellavedova, and Mirza Teletovic.
Yeah, that's another one.
Which I feel kind of bad for him. His first year, he was awful. I wanted him cut immediately because I've never seen someone so bad on a basketball court. His second year, he came back, he got glasses or whatever it was. He was starting to shoot the lights out, and then he had those unfortunate blood clots that ended his career. But that entire spending spree was not great. So
the Jason Kidd era was a lot of fun, wasn't it? At least
don't get me started.
At least Giannis was there.
No kidding.
At least Giannis was there.
Yeah. God. But I mean,
Bucks history the last 30 years has just been awful.
Yeah, you should
until now.
You should see my list. I have like five or six Packers, like five or six Brewers, and then like 15 Bucks that I had to whittle down. So. I mean, I could go on all day about this.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I think we'll do a little bit more of this in the next hour after we talk to Kevin Holden. This is what's coming in so far on the Facebook fan page. Again, you can like Bill Michaels on Facebook. The Bill Michaels Show. Just look for the blue check mark. You can get in on this there. Kyle says Jeffrey Hammonds. Haven't talked about him. From the Brewers. Joe Johnson from the Packers. Jeff Supon. Dan Gadzarich. And Matthew Dellavedova. That's his top five. Daniel on Facebook says Teddy Higuera. Greg says Nick Perry, Joe Johnson, Larry Sanders, Jeff Supon. He says you can also put Michael Redd, Bobby Simmons, Tim Thomas, and Dan Gadzarich and mix them in a bowl. They all sucked. We haven't talked about Nick Perry. I'll just talk about him for a second. I really was trying to consider putting Nick Perry in my top five. Now, again, what happened was, the contract that they gave Nick Perry, he had that one great season in a contract year. As I recall, there were no outside linebackers on the free agent market. The Packers really couldn't do anything. It was either sign Nick Perry or not have an outside linebacker. Those are the cards that were dealt. It's not like there were other guys they could have targeted. So they had to bring Nick Perry back, but to pay him 5 years at $60 million, granted, not all of it was guaranteed, it just hurts, because then after he signed that extension, he couldn't stay healthy. He was playing with one arm. He was useless. And 2 years ago, he was on the Packer roster, but I completely forgot about him. I forgot he was still playing for the Packers. Bad contract in the scheme of things. At least the Packers are not paying for it tremendously after the fact. 855-830-8648 is the phone number. We'll get back into this coming up in just a little bit. One guy coming up on the other side that I want to hear his top five from, because I gave him a homework assignment, was to come up with his top five worst contracts. Grant Bills, if you're familiar with Grant, over in La Crosse on WKTY, he's host of the Wisconsin Sports Show, or the Wisco Sports Show. He will weigh in on this. We'll talk about some other Wisconsin sports topics as well. Coming up after the top of the hour, Kevin Holden, CBS 58, will stop by for his weekly visit, and then want to hear more from you guys. Again, 855-830-8648, Milwaukee Admirals, hashtag Admirals 50 Talk Line. He's Evan Heffelfinger. I'm Radio Joe Zanzola. We're in for Bill today. This is The Bill Michaels Show.
You're listening to The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
This portion of The Bill Michaels Show brought to you by our good friends at Quick Trip. Quickery, 8-count hot dog and hamburger buns for the weekend. Grilling out Memorial Day weekend, only 99 cents each. Get them now. The offer is good through June 4th. Don't forget to use your Quick Rewards card. And today only, the prepackaged cookies, $2.99 a dozen. Good stuff. That's from our friends over at Quick Trip.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. The Bill Michaels Show continues. Radio Joe here in for Bill. He'll be back on Tuesday. Packers defensive coordinator Mike Pettine is addressing the media right now. He calls the performance from the run defense in the NFC Championship game, quote, beyond disappointing. Energy, effort, scheme were not good enough. We'll hear from more from Mike Pettine coming up. Get Bill's thoughts on it next week, too. I still don't understand for the life of me why the Packers didn't do anything to improve the defensive line. Hey, by the way, did you hear Montrevious Adams got arrested down in Georgia yesterday? Yeah, there was marijuana possession. He had a canceled license. There was like a whole bunch of things with Montrevious Adams. It's just like, man, come on. Come on. And that's a guy that's turning into a bust. Like, this is his year to do something, and he hasn't done anything. But, I mean, after what I saw with that defensive line, how can the Packers not address it at all? Okay, you don't have all the money to spend in free agency, fine, but the draft was a golden opportunity to do it, and they didn't do it. Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, let's get his thoughts on it. From the Wisco Sports Show, you can check it out 5 p.m. on WKTY in La Crosse, our fine affiliate there. He is Grant Bills. Grant, what's going on, dude?
Joe, I'm doing well. It's been a busy week, so it's been graduation week for UWL, so everybody's kind of moving. I'm moving tomorrow and a little bit today, so I haven't had a lot of time to prep for my show. So this is great. I'm just going to take everything we talk about and just do it again at 5 o'clock. And if that's not enough, I'll just play the Mike Pettine press conference and it'll be great. So this is working out perfect for me.
Yeah, here you go. Here's half your show. You can just replay this interview and then replay Pettine, and there you go.
Yep, that's an hour. That's all I need.
There you go. Done deal. By the way, congratulations on graduating. I know it sucks that you're not able to walk. Has lacrosse kind of done some alternative things to kind of compromise, or is it just, it is what it is?
Yeah, I mean, you can only do so much. We had a virtual graduation, which I was a little underwhelmed by. I get that you can only do so much, but I thought it was a little weak. But I think graduation is more for the families than for the actual graduates.
Sure.
Like, I've been with my friends for years. So last Friday, my parents and my siblings were able to come down, and we had a picnic, and it was beautiful. So we hung out in Riverside Park. And so my family was able to come down, and that was good enough for me. So it wasn't a conventional graduation, but it was everything I needed it to be. It was perfect.
That's good to hear. So let me get your thoughts on this first. Mike Pettine is addressing the media right now up in Green Bay. Are you surprised that the Packers really didn't do anything to make this defensive line better? Because we saw last season, it wasn't even just the NFC Championship game. That run defense was terrible all the way through. It was their biggest weakness on that side of the football. Does it bother you the Packers didn't do more there?
Yeah, it does bother me. Joe, I don't hate the Jordan Love pick because I kind of understand what Brian Gutekunst was thinking. I understand his logic. By the way, fellow UW lacrosse alum Brian Gutekunst, go Eagles. I get his logic. There weren't really any wide receivers available. There were 6 off the board in the first round and 7 in the second by the time they picked. So if they were going for a wide receiver, they're going to reach. Okay, I get that. They must think Jordan Love is a great prospect, a prospect that they're not going to have a chance to draft in the next couple of years as long as Aaron Rodgers is playing. So that they jumped at the opportunity. I understand all that. I don't understand not taking Patrick Queen. That's the one that sticks with me, because sometimes, Joe, and maybe you've noticed this too, the last couple of years, the Packers have been able to find good defensive players. I like Kevin King. I like Jaire Alexander. But sometimes they just pass up what seems like the obvious choice. They didn't want T.J. Watt. He's turned out to be great. They didn't want Derwin James, who's turned out to be great. And I understand they got an extra first-round pick, but they used the next year's first-round picks to take a pass rusher who hasn't done much and a safety who's not as good as Derwin James. So they didn't want those two obvious great defensive players, and they didn't want Patrick Queen, who, by my estimation, would have been a great help to their run defense. So I get why they didn't go wide receiver. Maybe I understand why they like Jordan Love. I don't understand why they didn't help that defensive front at all. Patrick Queen was there. That's who I thought they were taking when they traded up. And now that Montrevious Adams has been arrested, that doesn't exactly help the situation either. I don't get it. They must really like Kingsley Keke. That's my takeaway. And I know a lot of Packer people talk highly of him. I'm going to need to see it a little bit, but they must really be banking on Kingsley Keke and maybe Dean Lowry and Tyler Lancaster. I don't know. It's not an exactly a group of names that blows me away, but they must really like him.
Mike Pettine is saying right now that he expects Rashawn Gary should take a big leap forward and we'll see more time. There's also talk that he plans on playing more inside. That's a pick too. And again, it's not, I'm not trying to rip on Rashawn Gary, like ruling him as a bust already. It's just the Packers were near the top 10 when that pick happened, and you had just signed Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith for long-term deals, not just 1 or 2 years. These guys were getting four-year contracts, and then you draft another edge guy that it's going to be hard for him to fit. So I just don't know how they're going to use Rashawn Gary this year. Again, it's not, I don't have an issue with the player itself. It's just the Packers' decision of picking him when they did. How do you feel about Rashawn Gary?
That's really tough because it's tough. I don't want to label him as a bust. You're exactly right. You got to give him a couple of years. But, yeah. Joe, it was tough because last year I saw the Niners have a couple of players from that year's draft, a couple of rookie players that were really contributing, right? The Titans had a few as well. The Chiefs definitely did. And then there were the Packers who took the long-term approach with Rashawn Gary, which is fine. You got to worry about the future of your team as well. But when the window gets smaller and smaller with Aaron Rodgers, you want players who can contribute, and it didn't make a whole lot of sense since they had just drafted both of the Smiths or signed both of the Smiths. They must be planning to use Rashawn Gary on the inside. I mean, it would make sense because they didn't help that defensive line at all, and Za'Darius and Preston are doing their thing on the outside, so I hope they do have plans to use Rashawn Gary on the interior to help that run defense. I mean, they must. Otherwise, that pick makes less and less sense as time moves on, and I don't think Brian Gutekunst is a bad drafter or a bad GM. So I got to think they have plans to really expand Gary's role. And I bet they have expectations that he takes a jump in year two. He better. I mean, he was near a top 10 pick. So I hope their expectations are high for him.
Talking with Grant Bills from WKTY out in La Crosse, our fine affiliate there here on the Schneider Orange Hotline. What are your thoughts too on AJ Dillon and Josiah DeGuara? I mean, again, this seems to me that Matt LaFleur definitely had a say in these two picks because, again, it fits the kind of system that he's trying to build. He wants a greater emphasis on the run game. The question is, though, Grant, I just don't know how much A.J. Dillon and Josiah DeGuara can help this team win right now. That, to me, that's the biggest issue. And people tell me all the time, well, Joe, you know, so what if they didn't draft a rookie wide receiver? Who says they're going to help? Well, I can say the same thing about these two guys. I mean, I like the players, I like the prospects, but do they help them win right now?
Well, firstly, I don't have much to say about the tight end. I don't really know a whole lot about him, and we'll see what kind of role they use him in. Maybe they put him in the backfield and put him in motion.
I think that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, so I have to wait and see with the tight end a little bit. As far as A.J. Dillon goes, Joe, probably my biggest talking point going into the Packers draft, something that I thought was a unique take that I had, and I really tried to double down on it, I wanted the Packers to take a running back in the first or second round. I think it makes a lot of sense because Matt LaFleur has shown in the last year that his strength, what he's best at, is using running backs in the passing game. So if that's what you're good at, build on a strength. Don't focus on wide receivers. You have Devontae Adams and some guys you can make it work. Double down on what makes you great. And I think the drafting of A.J. Dillon is very similar to the drafting of Randall Cobb in 2011, where Ted Thompson and McCarthy at the time said, look, we're really great at wide receiver. We're really good at finding ways to use wide receivers. Let's get another one, and let's really double down on that strength. I feel the same way about A.J. Dillon. Plus, I think Aaron Jones is better with a bruiser type back, very similar to Alvin Kamara. When Mark Ingram left New Orleans, Alvin Kamara was not as good, and I think they want to make sure they have a deep stable of running backs to run Matt LaFleur's offense. That way they can use Aaron Jones only the way they want to use him. They don't need to wear him down with bell cow duties, you know, running between the tackles any more than they want to. No, I love the A.J. Dillon pick. I know it's not a flashy wide receiver or help on the defensive line. I was hoping they'd also address those two needs and get a running back. But I was ecstatic when I saw they took running back. I think it makes a lot of sense.
Going to talk with Grant Bills from WKTY in La Crosse here on the Bill Michaels Show. Okay, so I gave you a homework assignment a couple days ago. I wanted your top five worst contracts in Wisconsin sports history. So what do you got for me?
So I have four that I feel really strongly about. I couldn't pick five. I didn't know who to. I was trying to pick between Teletovich and Henson. The Packers got a few with Graham and Nick Perry, and then the Brewers, of course, Supon. Eric Gagne was a name I considered. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't pick number five. So I have one through four, and a couple of them are similar to the ones you mentioned, so I won't be repetitive. Number four for me was Martellus Bennett, okay, which really wasn't all of Ted Thompson's fault. If Rodgers stays healthy and that season continues successfully, Martellus Bennett, who knows? He could have been a great Packers tight end, and we could remember him very differently. Now, he had some character issues, and obviously I don't remember him fondly, but that was a product of the situation. So that was my number four. Number three, and I know this isn't a player. I was trying to get creative. Gary Anderson. This is a bad signing for Wisconsin, and I heard it. He got a mention earlier, which cracked me up. Gary Anderson is the Matt Flynn of college football coaches. He was great in Utah and couldn't make it work anywhere else. This is his career history. Ready? Utah to Southern Utah, back to Utah, then the head coach at Utah State, then at Wisconsin, where he left after a year, Oregon State, where they bought him out for $12 million because they wanted to get rid of him, and then back to Utah as an assistant, and then became the head coach at Utah State, where he replaced the coach that replaced him. He was great in the setting where he could succeed in Utah, much like Matt Flynn was great in Green Bay, but anywhere else, it just didn't go well. Now, Wisconsin made up for that hire by hiring what I consider to be the second best coach in our state right now behind Craig Counsell, Paul Chryst, who is great and I think criminally underrated in the landscape of college football. You already said that today. Yeah. So that was my number three. Number two is Dele. 4 years, $38 million. I don't need to get into the numbers. You hit the numbers. But, Joe, and I got to push back on what you said a little bit earlier.
Sure.
Everyone knew this signing was a terrible idea. Like, maybe you were the only one who had a little bit of hope, of optimism. I remember this signing happening, and the entire NBA world, all of my friends, everybody I knew just rolling their eyes. They're like, of course the Bucks are going to sign Dele. Like, nobody I knew thought that was a good idea. And, of course, it didn't. I mean, he'd never averaged more than 10 points in a game. So that signing never made sense to me. That was my number two. And then number one was Matt Garza. I think the Supon contract might have actually been worse, but the lasting effect that Garza has left. So it was 5 years, $67 million, including bonuses and incentives and stuff like that. But it was the aftermath of Matt Garza that made this signing so impactful. This is the worst signing for a lot of reasons. Anytime the Brewers consider signing a veteran pitcher or it's rumored they're looking at a veteran, what does everyone say? Well, as long as it's not another Matt Garza, right? It's stuck in our minds for this long. And the Brewers don't sign veteran pitchers, right? They didn't want Sonny Gray, didn't want Dallas Keuchel, Jake Arrieta. You can throw Craig Kimbrell into that group as well. Now, I don't know if that's directly related to Matt Garza, but it sticks in our minds. I'm sure it sticks in the Brewers front office's mind as well. And they don't sign deals longer than 1 year, because that's really when the Garza contract went south, is a couple of years in when he no longer matched the rebuild and he became a toxic figure. So I think the Brewers have operated the last couple of years keeping Matt Garza in mind. And that's why I had Matt Garza, the starting pitcher. That's my worst contract. And it's a little bit of recency bias, don't get me wrong, but I had Matt Garza at number one.
Well, that is quite a list, Grant, and well done. I'm still disappointed you couldn't get me a number five, but I will take your number four. That works. You get an A. Well done. He's Grant Bills from WKTY in La Crosse. He's host of the Wisco Sports Show. You can catch him weeknights at 5 o'clock on WKTY out there. And you can follow him on Twitter as well, at @KeyStrokerGrant. Grant, you have a good weekend, my friend, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Joe. Real quick, and I know I'm probably taking up too much time, I want to give a shout-out to my dad, who had his last cancer treatment this morning. He's a big fan of your show, you and Bill. Dad, I love you. We're proud of you. I'm a sports fan because of you, and I can't wait to see you soon. But, Joe, thanks again. Let's talk soon. This was a lot of fun.
Absolutely, Grant, man. We'll talk to you later, okay?
Yep. Talk soon, Joe.
All right, there he is, Grant Bills from WKTY out in La Crosse, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. They work hard, you work hard, they treat you fair. For 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them at 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. Yeah, definitely. Shout out to his dad for just overcoming cancer. That is awesome. We got more of the Bill Michaels Show next. Just a couple minutes here before the top of the hour on the Bill Michaels Show. Radio Joe in for Bill today. Something I haven't had a chance to really get into, but I'm excited for it. Coming up on Sunday at 2 o'clock Central Time. The match. Really looking forward to this. Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, all going at it. They're raising $10 million for coronavirus relief. Really cool. They're going to be playing down in Hobe Sound, Florida at Medalist. That's one of Tiger's home courses. And some really good stuff that'll happen. That'll be a fun tournament. Tiger and Peyton Manning will go up against Phil and Brady. And if I'm going to put money on it, I'm going to take Tiger and Peyton in this one. But we shall see. I mean, we saw Tiger and Phil go at it out in Las Vegas last year, and that was a lot of fun outside of the snafu that they had with pay-per-view. This will not be on pay-per-view. This will be on TNT. Brian Anderson is going to be on the call for this from Fox Sports Wisconsin, the Brewers broadcaster. Of course, he does a lot of stuff with Turner Sports. So he's going to be on the call for that. Also, Trevor Immelman, Amanda Baliones, Charles Barkley will be on the call as well, and so will PGA Pro Justin Thomas. So that should be very entertaining. Hopefully there'll be some smack talk. Obviously there won't be any profanity, but some sports, actual sports for a really good cause. That's coming up Sunday at 2 o'clock. See if we can talk more about that coming up, but definitely had to get that in there. Oh, hey, anything you guys have missed on today's show, just go to BillMichaelsSports.com. That's BillMichaelsSports.com. You can also download the free, I mean free, Radio.com app where you can consume everything that we have had on this week's show. And, of course, from today's show, we still got another hour coming up. Kevin Holden of CBS 58 will join me. We'll get his thoughts, his top five worst contracts in Wisconsin sports history. And we'll talk some baseball as well. Where do we stand with all this? He's Evan Heffelfinger. He's producing the show today. And I'm Radio Joe Zanzola. You're listening to The Bill Michaels Show.
Border to border, The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.